Hey everybody.
What's up?
Welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast. Today we're talking The Gate 1987. Yes. Another horror movie from 1987.
Yeah, we've been kind of on a trend of 80s kids monsters.
Yeah, we'll get out of that, like, but yeah.
I'm definitely one that wants to go old school again, so.
Yeah, we'll go old school.
So but, this was 87, you said? 87?
1987.
I never saw that. I had seen a little bit of this before, because when he suggested it to me, I was like, did I see this? And when I started watching, like, I saw this movie.
Yeah.
But then it started going on, and like, I did not see all of this movie.
Yeah.
So, one of those movies
you went back and forth on, so
I
kind of remembered
it.
And
said, and didn't finish it, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah. And before we start, check out our new website, www.thelittlemonstersmoviepodcast.com. So, from there you can get to iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. So, check us out. And and another thing, YouTube, subscribe. It's the little button down there when you hit the Little Movie Monsters podcast. Hit that subscribe button so that you're, you know, that means a lot to us and to the YouTube community. So, if you can do that, that's awesome. And, yeah, so this movie isn't as action-packed as most of the movies we've been going through. This is more, I think, more dramas. Well, it's horror, but more story-driven.
Yeah, and there's like, no good-looking chicks in this movie from the 80s. There's horrible hair. We're going to get into that.
There's some young kids.
There's a girl who's got her hair sticking straight up in the front.
Oh, she has sprayed that up about 7-8 inches.
Man, I forgot that people used to do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they would take that comb, and they would put it way up to the top. Yeah.
Man, you did that.
Good old 80s. Well, I spiked my hair. I was, I was punkish back when I had a lot more hair.
I was metal and I
spiked
still
it up, you know.
So that, there's a kid I can relate to in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, the one thing I did like about the movie was just the, it was just great. There were 80s themed things throughout the whole movie. Like, you know, the one young kid with the jean jacket, cut off sleeves.
I still have my jean jacket with my patches on it. What's so funny about that?
Well, nothing funny about it. I'm not saying it's funny. I'm saying it's cool.
He's got his metal patch on the back.
Yeah, metal patch, Killer Dwarves, I think it was.
Is that even a band? I don't know if that's a band or not. Not one I listen to. Mine has Iron Maiden on the back with Kiss on the front.
Well, yeah, he's the heavy metal. I'm more of the alternative, The Cure, Echo Bunny Man, stuff like that. But
my wife hates
that
jacket. She hates it.
She hates it.
But the funny thing is, anytime we go out and I wear that jacket, some kid will come up to me. Some teenage kid and go, that's awesome, where did you get that? And I always have to tell him, son, I didn't buy this, I made this.
Yeah.
All right, I sewed them all myself, I didn't have my mom do it.
Yeah,
I ironed them on, I sewed them all on.
Yep.
And that's how I got patches all over it.
Depeche Mode, yeah.
No, I don't have Depeche Mode.
I got that
I'd get
on
beat
there,
up if I had Depeche Mode.
Oh, God. Anyways, this movie, and also I love all the stuff that, I mean, there's things in this movie that you don't see in kids' rooms nowadays, you know. I mean, this is all about, you know, the kids from the 80s. I mean, they had the toys all sitting around in most of the movies we've done lately because they've been 80s, you know.
We got another treehouse.
Another treehouse, yeah. Mm-hmm. And kids in the 80s, they love the treehouses. hey, who doesn't love a treehouse? But he was into the rockets and stuff like that. They're all hanging from the room and stuff like that.
I don't think
there's
anybody notable in this movie. I didn't watch it and go, oh, I know that person, I know that person. There's like nobody.
Steven Dorff is the little kid.
Yeah, and now
but he's
I saw what he looked like as he was older. I don't recognize him from anything.
He was in some stuff there a little bit during the 90s. He reached a peak, I think. And yeah, he's nothing since. But yeah, I mean, this is more of a, you know, like I said, there's no jokes, no comedy, no nothing.
No.
I mean, these kids are scared, you know.
Yeah, we like to terrorize the kids. So it starts off with like a dream sequence, idyllic little neighborhood. I'm not sure where it takes place, someplace sunny and suburban.
Right.
And the kid's riding his bike. His name's Glenn, and the little kid, his name's Glenn.
Glenn, and his friend is Terry.
Terry.
Yeah.
And he's riding his bike through the neighborhood, and when he gets he comes home, and there's nobody home. Mom, Dad, Al. His sister Alexandra, they call her Al throughout the whole movie.
She's a cutie, but she's not, you know, I mean.
If you say so.
No, whatever.
Yeah, you know, didn't do nothing for me.
She's not like
the chick from Killer Clowns. So,
No.
But, what was he going to the kitchen? There's plates sitting out. I mean, it's just one of those dreams where you walk into a house, nobody's home. He goes up into his tree house, and I believe lightning hits it.
Yeah, and it, like, blows up and a tree falls down and all that,
And then he wakes up in his bed.
Yeah.
And to the sound of workmen in his backyard digging up the old tree that his treehouse was in.
Right.
Because it's old and rotten and they need to dig that right up.
Yeah.
So,
coincidence that that happened in his dream and he wakes up and it's actually happening.
Right, a little prelude of the bad things to come from this area here. So,
yes, this old tree.
And when the workmen are doing their thing out there, Glenn goes out there and he finds what they call, I didn't know that it was called this, I had one once, it's called geode. And it's a rock. And what's inside, like quartz?
Quartz and stuff like that.
Crystal inside the rock.
Right.
I remember one time at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, I had one. I bought one.
Right.
When I was a kid, when I went there, and I don't know what happened to it. But it was cool. It was really cool, to have.
Yeah.
And
usually they're broken half and you could see the inside.
Yeah, mine was all like finished and smooth.
Yeah.
But this was all raw.
These kids found a big giant ball.
Right.
And this is a big one, like a basketball.
Well, right. When his friend Terry comes over, who's got his metal patches on. And we find out later that his mother just died not too long ago. His father doesn't seem like he's home very much. I know there's a sequel to this movie that Terry's the only returning character in it. And it's the same actor, but he's a couple years older.
Yeah, I haven't seen part two.
Neither of them. I don't know that I...
Probably won't either.
I read, I went on the Wikipedia and I read what it was about, and it doesn't sound terribly uninteresting. So maybe.
This is a movie that I would recommend. I think most horror fans would watch it. I mean, it is a cult classic. It has reached that cult classic status.
It has, huh?
It has. But Ted evidently don't like it as much.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. Yeah,
I like the monsters. When we get to talking about the monsters, I love Ray Harryhausen. I love, the old school monster.
And this
effects.
Has a lot
and
of
it's
that
got
kind
that
of
in
stuff.
There. So when you put something like that in a movie and I can tell it's like a little stop motion, little figures moving around, you got my attention. I'm going to watch it. So
the monster character in this, the demon, is the best part of the movie.
When we get to that, I'm all about it.
But I also love, like I said, it's just because I was raised in the 80s. I mean, I love everything. When I see a movie like this, even though this isn't as... poppy and action packed. I love everything.
Reminds
from
you when you were a kid. When we were kids.
Yeah, when you see the boombox sitting in his room,
a bunch of boomboxes in this.
I used to pop my cassette in there, listen to music all day long. I mean, it doesn't happen. And Terry is in his room with
his records.
He's got his metal records, his albums.
That.
But yeah, when we get to that, we'll get to that. But
because that's what I identified with the most in the movie. So so Terry and Glenn, they decide to dig in the yard because they found that one geode. Maybe if they find, he tells them. Terry tells them, these are worth a lot of money. We can get $100 for this. And they find a giant one.
Basketball
size. But it's a rock. It's not broken half. It's a rock. They can tell that it's a geode, I guess, because it's kind of hollow inside.
Yeah.
But it's still hard as a rock. And then all these moths start bursting out of the hole that they've dug.
Well, they hit the hole with their foot, and it collapses down
big,
through.
Deep hole down there.
Yeah.
The gate. And, they catch a bunch of them in a jar, and... You could. This is where you start telling that Terry's on a dark path here.
Yeah, because Glenn says that's very cruel.
Well, he says, "How long do you think they can live without air?" And he said, "Yeah, that's right." He says it's cruel, and he's like, "It's neat."
It's neat. Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, that's one of the signs of serial killer right there."
Yeah, but poor Terry. Terry's the one that gets it in this movie, and
but really, what it is he's just angry. His mom's gone.
Right.
His dad's not around.
Yeah.
I think we learned in the second one he's kind of an alcoholic and. He's on his own. If it wasn't for his friend Glenn here and their family, he probably wouldn't have anybody.
Yeah,
so.
His dad, downs Red Bull and heads up to the local bar, so...
I think he's a pilot or something in the sequel, he's an airline pilot, so that's why he's, never in town.
There you go.
Like that. So, they catch those moths, and, the dad comes out, he kind of sees that, they've dug... And they're at the breakfast table. And
his dad don't really say nothing. He doesn't he just look at it and then he turns away and
he
just goes
to the house.
Well, when
you're sitting at
the
breakfast table, he says, you got to go out there and fill that hole in. You got to go fix it.
Okay, I must have missed that part.
Because the mom and dad are going out for the weekend.
Right.
And
they're trying to figure out if the teenage daughter is going to,
right.
be respectful.
Is she responsible enough?
Right.
She really wants to. She wants, to be responsible and stay home. And, they decide. They go back and forth. They decide. Yeah. My folks would never.
No. 15 years old. And they're going away for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Not for just a few hours, They're just, the weekend.
Right.
So they
decide, we're cool with it. We're going to let you, have a chance. And Dad tells Glenn, you though, are grounded. Mm-hmm. Oh, one other thing we forgot to mention when they were digging in that hole, because it's going to come up later, is Glenn got himself a real big splinter in his hand. Mm-hmm. When he took it out, some drops of blood fell down the hole. That blood's going to play into how the gate gets open and stuff later, so we should mention that.
Right.
And then I think there's the scene where Dad's like tucking him in at night, and Glenn's got like a weird feeling. He's, you know, it's just something about that hole, you know, something's weird. You know, that's what he keeps saying, you know, it's just weird.
He's something's wrong. Yeah, right. He figures it out.
Dad should have listened to him. Should have listened to him. Yeah. There's something weird in that hole, all right.
And Terry figures that there's one thing about Terry. He does the other little kid, his friend, figures out most of this stuff.
And that kid knows how to do everything. Knows how to conjure the demons, get rid of the demons. You know what fights on? I mean, yeah, if it wasn't for Terry, they'd all been sunk. Kids like 10.
Yeah. I mean, you leave your kid alone long enough, he's going to figure out how to, you know, take care of the demons and spirits. I guess,
man. You're letting him listen to Killer Dwarf, and he's figuring
Killer Dwarf.
So I believe Mom and Dad, they get ready to go for the weekend. I don't think they ever really say where they're going. They're just you know, going out for the weekend, and they back out. You know, don't forget we got the numbers on the wall over here. Don't forget to feed the dumb dog, who we find is 97 years old in dog years, who's
he's very old.
And
dog.
If you're an animal lover, and it's there's some horrible things that happen to this dog.
Yeah, just like 80s movies, you know.
There's no way they would, even though you know that it's not. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, whatever.
There's just no way.
Yeah, PETA would be complaining about it.
They'd be all over how this
poor dog.
How this dog gets treated.
Yeah. Anyways.
So no sooner does Mom and Dad leave.
They have a big old team party.
That's right.
And, yeah. Kids are smoking, they're drinking.
But there's always like people that are there that you know wouldn't be at your party. You know, like there's the geeks and stuff like that. You know, like the Anthony Michael Hall,
mix
16
of
Candles kind of geeks over there.
Yeah, your
and
cliques.
All the terrible hairstyles. Just awful.
I love it.
Like
I love it all.
She's got the crimp going on, which I never really cared for that anyway. But.
Yeah, I love it all. I love the plaid or pants where they buck. You know, you would fold them at the bottom and
oh, God, the little, what, French cuff or whatever?
Yeah, cuff them at the bottom of your pants, and they'd all be like a yellow pants, a pink shirt, you know. This is what the guys wore back in the 80s.
What I wore in the 80s, I'm pretty much wearing now. Jeans and metal. I have a whole closet full of metal t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I never did either. I was more of the punker, you know. Yeah. So everything was black, still is to me.
Yeah, you always wear black.
That's black is my favorite color. That's all I wear. But, yeah, I mean, that's what they wore back in the 80s. But,
and did you notice, like, during the party, she's not even enjoying herself.
No.
She's all cleaning everything up and going around. She can't even enjoy herself at her own party. And that is so true of how it usually is when you're going to throw a party.
Right.
Your folks are gone. You're so worried about them screwing stuff up.
Yeah.
Stuff getting broken.
Yeah.
That you can't even have fun. So don't do it.
Well, I think her...
Go have a party at someone else's house.
Exactly.
I love parties at other people's houses.
Yeah, man. Sit back, relax, and throw your can down on
the corner. You know, you pour the beer in the coconut, you throw the can away. And,
I think it's her two girlfriends who peer pressure, you know, her into, you know...
So they're trying to hook her up with this
hook
guy.
Hook her up with the guy. So that's why where the party came from. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's get her hooked up. You
right.
know,
and in the meantime, she's keeping her brother and Terry, who's going to sleep. He's pretty much just staying over the whole weekend.
Right.
They're up there trying to, you know, they show Terry. He's just sitting with a chisel and a hammer trying to whack this thing in half.
And Glenn just comes up and just...
Hits it with a hammer one time.
And it, yeah, opens
well, Terry
up.
Loosened it up.
And it did emit a light, like a glowing, you know, and he says, is it supposed to do that?
I think he said maybe like there was some compressed air or something.
Could be.
And it was sitting on top of one of those old, I don't know what you called them, but it was one of those old, you used to give them at the grocery store, it was a wax board with that gray
wax board. Oh, yeah. Where
you had the little red plastic pen and you could write, lift it up, it would erase and put it back down. And it left some kind of markings on there with some kind of words.
Right.
Not
symbols.
English. Symbols and
symbols
some words.
Some words, yeah.
And they were able to make out the words and they read them out loud and then it flashes outside to the hole and you see all this mist and smoke start coming out of it. So, you know, bad
yeah,
stuff
so the,
starting to happen.
So the big egg opens up. The markings are on that little toy thing.
Right.
So the kids conjure it up. So yeah, I mean, it's all well written, but right. and the smoke out in the, you know, the hole, yeah. So,
and the kids decide to, I like Terry, after they get it over, he's like, let's go party. Like, they're gonna go, you know, get some weed and some beers.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, let's go party. But it is cool, what they do, a thing that actually my kids are, I mean, what kid doesn't do that?
Well, tell spooky stories.
Yeah, and then they do that, what's that, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Yeah, they're telling some spooky stories, which I don't really see this happen at a high school party. People are looking
to hook up
and get toked and right. all that.
But they're all, at least 30 kids are in this, the living room gathered
and
together.
And there's about 50 candles lit. And
They really planned it out and got
and you can
together.
See the party's died down some, you know, it's just like a smaller core of people there. And then there's just like this one geeky girl that starts talking about the energies and things like that, and she starts getting onto that subject of levitation. And some people think, it's BS, it's an illusion. She says, no, I've done it, you can do it.
Right.
And so, yeah, they do that kind of... They
I remember doing
guy.
It. I
Does
I
it
did
work?
It.
I never did that.
We did do it as a kid. We're going to have to do it as adults.
See if you can lift me up, 250 pounds. See if you can do that. Then I'll believe anything.
I remember it working.
They tried to do it on the big stud guy.
Right.
They get like a couple of the girls to do it, and they can't get him up there, but they're also giggly and not concentrating.
Right.
And that's the thing. You can't have girls do this kind of stuff. And they can't keep their minds focused on it.
Exactly. No, yeah.
And, so they see that...
put magic in girls' hands, it's going to not work
out
too
well.
Always
turns out bad. Always turns out bad.
Unless they're conjurers.
Name me an instance.
Yeah. But anyways, they can't lift them up.
Mm-mm.
So, too heavy, you know.
So Glenn and Terry, they spot them.
Yeah. So they grab Glenn, the little...
The brother.
Yeah.
The brother. And they're gonna do that whole thing. But they're doing something different. They're like kind of joining hands around him.
Yeah.
They're not like really like, you know, got their two fingers under him to
right.
try to lift. And the other girls, you know, chanting some hoopla. But then he actually does start, you know, getting light as a feather. And
I mean, at first you think they're just actually lifting him up because he's light.
Right.
He's a young kid.
Right. And then after they do that whole hand thing, then they get their hands under him. But they lift him a little bit at first. And then he does. He starts floating.
And
he goes up to the damn ceiling. And he's, what is he? He's grabbing light fixtures.
Yeah, he knocks it in a light fixture and pulls it down and falls onto the ground. And he's
right.
Like, oh.
And he ends up dropping to the ground, and I think he just got really freaked out scared and freaked out as a kid would, and started crying a little bit and ran upstairs. The party kind of ends after that, and sister Al's trying to get him out of the, I don't know if he's in his room or bathroom, and you know, and they could tell he's
right.
just, you know, he's upset, he's scared, and he's embarrassed.
Right.
At the same time,
Terry and her basically say, nothing to be embarrassed about.
I think even Terry says something like, you know, during the quarter mile run, he barfed on some kid.
Yeah, he's like 12 minute run, I barfed on a kid. You know, so
right.
Yeah.
So Terry's sleeping over. He's gone.
And the girl checks herself out in the mirror, you know, she's looking seeing how, you know, hey, do I look good?
And that was kind of reminiscent to me of, like, 16 Candles when Molly Ringwald's checking herself out on her 16th birthday and you know, doesn't look any different.
Right.
And that's what that totally reminded me of. Maybe it's just because I saw 16 Candles not too long ago.
Yeah.
That's one 80s movie that I... Well, the John Hughes movies in general.
Oh, I love them all. Yeah, I love them all. But anyways, yeah. And the moths all start coming in.
Right, they're
moths
in the jar,
and you can
see their shadows.
They play a big part in this. I mean, you know, with the... Because they got a bug zapper,
I'm glad
on the outside.
Because that reminded me, when I was a kid, we would go to visit my dad's family in West Virginia. And this is hillbilly out in the, you know,
boondocks.
And I would spend summers up there. And they had a gigantic one. And on the back porch, everybody just sat on the back deck at night.
Yep.
And this is in the country. Pitch black, dark. That was the only light there was.
Bug zapper.
It was always cool when you got a moth or a big bug in there, because that sucker would just fry for like 30 seconds straight.
Oh,
and everybody would stop talking. All right.
We got ourselves a bird, a hummingbird.
That was always that. And you know what's the worst out there was gnats. Like, you would think mosquitoes would be bad. Gnats are way worse. You can barely see them, and man, they eat you alive.
Gnats will bite you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Worse than mosquitoes.
Darn
worse.
Gnats. Yeah.
But, that's dark. But,
I like the hummingbird and the bug zapper, though. Yeah.
I guess if you could get one in there, I bet it would go for more than 30 seconds. If anybody knows about that, you know, let us know.
That's so funny.
We want to know. And, So Terry, he gets up to go to the John, And yeah, then Glenn,
because the moths were all over the window again, right, and stuff. He freaked out. He pulled the shade down.
Yeah, he pulls the shade down. He sees the shadows of the moths.
Yeah.
Terry comes out of the bathroom and doesn't he notices like some light or something downstairs.
Yeah, a little disturbing part.
Because the door opens.
The door opens.
And
the
it's
fog.
His dead mother. He sees his dead mother.
And his dead mother's there.
Coming, like, you know, wanting to embrace him. And this is how this whole demon thing kind of works. It takes the form of someone you care about to kind of grab hold of you. It's going to do it again later on.
It's very smart.
You know? Yeah, I mean, the demon's got a hold of Terry, giving him a big hug, lovey-dovey. Meanwhile, in the room, in Glenn's room, you could see like things moving behind the walls, some scary stuff going on back there. So, I mean, everything's starting to kind of open up here.
Conjuring up, yep.
And then after Terry, he's holding his mother, he kind of steps back and notices it's not his mother at all, it's the dog.
It's the dog.
What was his name?
I forget the dog's
Angus.
Name. Yeah, that's right, Angus. Mm-hmm. That's right, because I kept remembering the Angus beef. You would name the dog after a food product.
Right, and he screams. You know. Terry freaks out.
Yeah, because he's holding the dog, and it just flops on the ground. And it is a, you know, like PETA would, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a big, and
it's
this is
a
big
cheap dog, right?
Yeah, big, giant cheap dog. So, you know, imagine him holding it and just dropping it down on the ground.
He screams, and Glenn and Alan come to the, you know, top of the stairs, look down, and it looks like the dog has passed away.
Yeah.
And we do know from earlier in the movie that the dog is really old.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, nobody's mad at him. Nobody thinks Terry did anything to the dog. He's just, you know, he's dead. He was scared because he found him, you know. And even Terry says the next morning, I'm sorry, you know. And everybody knows. They know the dog was old. And Terry's going to go home, and I don't even know why he goes home. Because Glenn asked me, he specifically says, you want to come over later and mess around? Which is like what I think they all said, like, and Leave It to Beaver all the time.
Right.
Just messing around.
Hey, that's what they did back then.
Yeah,
man.
So Terry goes home. Nobody's home.
No.
And, you know, all he's going to do is, like, drop his bag off and come back over.
Doesn't got to just, he's in the kitchen and there's just, like, stuff everywhere and there's an old pizza
box.
It actually looks disgusting and he grabs one and just takes a big bite out of it.
Yeah, pizza's always, man, I've been known, like, the next day, like, at work or something, if they ordered pizza the night before, there's something,
But not sitting out in the stove, baking E. coli and salmonella, just reproducing on it.
Nah, it's pizza. It's totally awesome.
I know.
Never once got sick from pizza in my life that I know of. Not once. The brother and sister, they're having breakfast. They got to figure out what to do with the dog.
Glenn keeps telling his sister, I want to call my dad, mom,
Know what happened.
She keeps saying no because she don't want to get in trouble, you know.
Well, she's just afraid that they're going to come home early, you know, anything that's going to take away from this little bit of freedom that she's got.
Yeah.
Because she's got more plans than just that party, you know. The girlfriends are going to show up.
Yeah, they'll end up sleeping over, too. And they got get caught up in this whole hoopla.
Right.
Although they get, we'll talk about, yeah.
Yeah, so her girlfriend show up. I think the plan was like to have a beach day or something like that. Go shopping, go to the beach. And this is where we see that one. I don't know her name, but her hair is sticking straight up. Looks ridiculous.
8 inches tall. Gotta love it.
Oh, man.
Spoon. I mean, a fork or whatever. Comb.
It's literally
hair dry.
This high
and
off her head.
Yeah,
some of you women might remember doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how they argue with the brother. Like they're all sisters or something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the way that they argue, it's like, why would you argue with a little kid?
They interact with, like, he's a sibling himself, you know,
right.
One of their brother or something
and
like
then,
that.
And then they've got that guy with them, too, that they're trying to hook her up with.
Yeah.
And then we go back to Terry's
house. Glenn's look on his face throughout this whole movie is, this kid is just so, like, you know, what's the word I'm trying to do? He's just such a serious look on his face throughout the whole, there's not one smile. Not one frown, not sadness.
He even has
nothing.
A face that kind of looks almost adultish, even though he's a child.
Right.
He's got a very serious adultish face.
Yeah. And that's Stephen Dorff, who were, you know, he did movies in the 90s and stuff, but, you know.
And I guess we should touch on one other thing right now is that, you know, there's a little tension between the brother and sister that, you know, they used to be closer. They had some things in common. They liked to launch these model rockets and, the movie even kind of starts off with her throwing some junk away, and he asks, where's the Big Thunder or something like that, the really big rocket.
Yeah.
She says she threw it away.
Isn't that the one that comes to in later in the movie?
Yeah, it's the one that she ended up not throwing away and kept in it.
And it's important in the end. But
save him in the end.
But yeah, his big thing, his hobby is rockets. And him and his sister. Yeah.
And her birthday's coming up, and I think he even had a present for her under the bed that was a rocket. He opens it up. He's like, no, I'm not even going to give this to her anymore. And he throws it and goes behind the bed. And I think that even comes out later on, too. So,
well, it always takes a demon or something to get you, you know, to get along with your sister.
So they're a little bit estranged. It sounds like, you know, she's kind of getting to that age where she's doing her own thing, whereas before they were a lot closer. You definitely get that feeling. And
I think we're going to have to move this alien head here, Ted, because he's a little too close to you, and every time, you know, you're getting in there, it's fine, I guess. I mean, put your head right behind the alien. There you go, perfect.
All right.
Shot, snap shot.
This is okay, how we do my show now.
So
then we go to Terry's house. Terry's got the house to himself, and he's doing what I have done many times, and if no one's at home, I'd still.
It's like the microphone singing in there, you know.
He's doing the heavy metal rock out.
Yeah.
And if you like metal and you like me, when no one's home, I crank the mother up. And, you know, he's doing his thing on his bed, playing his guitar, putting the, you know, cloak over his head, and, you know,
he's reciting it.
Yeah, because the record's saying something about the old gods, and he's pointing in the mirror, and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And it's a cool record album, too. It's some, I forgot what the name of the band was. It's some fake band.
And it's got all the symbols on the album cover, too.
That are on that tablet that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
And he starts putting some things together. Like, there's pictures of the geode in there.
Yeah, that's another thing where, like I said, he's just, everything comes easy to Terry. He knows it all.
Like, this particular record that he just happens to have, he tells him it's a band from Europe. They only made one album because they all died in a bus crash. He happens to have it. And it's not just a record. I'm on the inside. There's like a book. And it's got all kinds of...
Yeah, it tells you about the summoning of this demon or whatever.
And it's the kind of thing you'd never give your kid.
Yeah, which he tries to use later on. But, yeah, we'll get to that.
Right.
And
so he starts putting it all together. Like, this has something to do with it.
And heads back to Glenn's.
You know, right. You know, the older kids are getting ready to go out. And they're all kind of... They're still going on about, you know, wanting to let mom and dad know about what happened. And they're making fun of him, telling him he's eating Pampers. You know, they throw a couple of homosexual slurs out, and...
I do remember that, the F-word, but...
And I think this is where they plan to, the guy that they want to kind of hook her up with, he's going to take the dog to, the dog's body.
Right.
To, is it like a vet or something like that?
Yeah, dispose of the body and stuff, and, he goes on a mission to do this, and... Doesn't get it done. He finds nothing nowhere, so he goes...
Or it's closed. I think he gets there, and it's closed.
It's closed, yeah.
And it's just, like, right there on the passenger seat, just this dead dog. It is wrapped in a blanket.
Right.
But,
you still see the puffs of sheep, black sheep here.
It's kind of sad, you know, this poor animal. And, you know, they're all these little ritzy kids. You know, he's got his little silver convertible, and the girls have their red convertible. And, you know, they want to go out shopping and go to the beach or meet for lunch. And, you know, they just have their plans.
And Glenn's just so sad looking at him. Oh, my sister, I love her, but why she got to be
again,
this way?
So serious. Why so serious?
So serious. But, she looks back and she's like, you know, she's starting to get that, you know, feeling the where, you know, I feel sorry for my brother, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
She feels bad for him too. You know, she's going out leaving and he could probably use somebody, you know, to talk to. You shouldn't be leaving him alone.
Yeah.
They even show, like, the next scene, he's looking in the photo album, pictures of the dog and pictures of him and his sister when they, you know, used to have a little bit more fun together.
It's so sad.
It is rough.
It's a rough, serious, sad film.
And this is, different in that, you know, the kids aren't happy in this one. You know,
this is a different type of 80s
movie. Monster Squad. There was laughs and jokes. What did we do before?
Killer
that?
Clowns was funny.
Killer Clowns.
Burbs.
Was, yeah, you know, there was comedy there.
So, and we'll go back to something serious in black and white, maybe something. We'll pick something out for next week.
That's me.
But they do leave, and that's when he gets the present out from under the bed.
Yeah, he digs it out from under the bed, and he's got made her a little card and everything. And he just kind of tosses it. It goes behind his bed.
But it's like a sure starter for the rockets.
Yeah,
which comes into play later on because of.
I was never into that. I mean, all it does is launch up and come down. Whoopee.
I remember when I was a kid seeing that a couple... Hey, when you're a kid, anything that's going to explode...
When they do launch one, they're all, like they're at a rock show, and it's...
Yeah.
Whoopee.
But
it actually went into orbit and, you know, came back down, maybe. But anyway, Terry comes back over. Yeah, you know, his home away from home. And they go out to kind of check out the hole. You know, there's still some mist and stuff coming up from there.
Because didn't he... supposedly he must have filled it and it got...
Yeah, because they did. They filled it because they...
It keeps starting to open back
and
up.
It opened back up. Yeah. And they decide to cover it up with a big hunk of wood from the old treehouse.
Yeah.
And what's cool is, like, later on, you even see, like, the little door...
Latch moving
when they do that. You know, something's going to try to get out.
And he didn't dispose of the dog yet, did he?
No, that's going to come up, I think, next.
Okay, a little later.
Because he shows up, I don't remember this boyfriend's name.
Yeah,
but
whatever
he shows up at the animal control center, or vet, or whatever, to dispose of the animal, and they're closed. So, what are we going to do? So, he takes it back to the house, and I just remember, like, he opens the door, and the dog's body just falls out on the ground.
Yeah.
He's banging it into things as it goes in the house.
Yep.
And what they end up deciding to do, ultimately, they haven't, you know, at this point, they haven't done it yet, but Elder, I think they're going to just throw it in the hole.
Yeah, they just throw it in the hole.
So. Mel's Hole, if you ever listen to Art Bell. It's Mel's Hole.
Mel's Hole.
Didn't Mel want to be thrown in the hole when he died? Yeah, we threw refrigerators in there.
Cars. I think he said, I mean, people have from all over for many years, too, and they put a fish line down there for, I don't know how many miles, a fishing line, and never reached the bottom. So if you're an Art Bell fan, that's
Mel's Hole. Mel's Hole is like Mel's Hole.
Yeah, which is up in Oregon or Washington state, where a lot of those volcanic tubing and stuff, up there. So who knows what
maybe
it is.
Maybe there's something to that hollow earth theory.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Jules Verne wasn't crazy after all. So then we get to, they go to Terry's house, and this is where he tells me about that record album and everything that he's discovered.
Yeah. And you gotta love Terry's room, too. He's got all the posters.
Oh, he's got a lot of Iron Maiden posters on the wall. Oh, yeah. Iron Maiden's my favorite band, so I'm just right at home. He's got his boombox, his globe, and his metal posters.
Yeah.
And that's
and that's what the kids did in the 80s. You don't see that nowadays,
you know what
do
I thought
you?
Was funny, though? And we didn't mention it. I should have mentioned it. At the beginning of the movie when Terry's over there and they're in the backyard and when they're first screwing around with that hole, he's got his jean jacket on with his whatever killer dwarf bag, but he's also wearing a Masters of the Universe t-shirt underneath it.
Oh, is he? I didn't catch that. Yeah.
It's like, you've got all this, you know, homoerotic stuff that Masters of the Universe was all about.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I played with those things religiously as a kid. It was probably next to Star Wars. Masters of the Universe was probably my next favorite toy.
Yep.
And I still have a bunch of that stuff in boxes.
Yeah,
but when you look at those
underwear
figures now, it's like he's just wearing these little gachis.
Who was He-Man's alter, the Prince?
Prince Adam, who wore like a pink vest and...
He was all bluish, wasn't he?
Yeah, now looking back at it now.
Yeah.
And how could no one put together that Prince Adam and He-Man were the same person? Come on. They look exactly the same, same haircut, same build.
Yeah.
You know, He-Man, when he shows up, he's just a little bit more tan.
Yeah. Oh, how funny.
I didn't know any better as a child, but looking back now, like, I even tried to watch some of the old cartoons.
Yeah.
And I look at, like, what? Does not have him getting these positions? And what?
Oh, he's also muscular.
Oh.
Muscular.
No.
No, yeah. And they did draw in a She-Ra, but she may have been lesbian. Yeah. Nothing against any of that.
If my sister watches this, she'll appreciate it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, if you're a Seinfeld fan.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. There was one year when I talked my baby sister into getting all the She-Ra toys. Because, you know, I collected He-Man, and I just convinced her that that's what she wanted. It's like, I wanted to play with them because they were part of the He-Man universe, but I didn't ask for them.
Yeah.
And so she got, like,
the
Crystal Palace and all the characters, and she never played with them. So I got double looped.
You got all her girl figures,
but
the He-Man figures.
Yeah, you know, they were part of, you know, because She-Ra and He-Man, they were brother and sister, so.
Yeah.
So we're back at Terry's place, a little aside there, and... Yeah. He's showing him that this is like the 80s, you know, when you played the metal records backwards. And he's playing it backwards. It tells you how to close it. And, you know, I couldn't hear a thing out of that when he's doing it. I love that part. Like, I think even the record's got like a pentagram on it, you know, when he's playing
it was all, satanic. Right.
Yeah. So that's when this dude that they're trying to hook her up with shows up and he decides, you know, he looks over the fence because he's bringing a dog back. Sees the hole, and okay, here's what we can do. Just toss the damn dog in the hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of these other girls are around, and It's fun. It's Terry, it's Glenn, and Al, and they decide to launch a rocket. You know,
she stays home.
Right, instead of going
This is
out.
The first connection between the brother and the sister. And she says, I'll stay home. And next thing you see them, she's got the, like, rocket jackets on. Mm-hmm. And they shoot off a rocket together. So they're starting to connect a bit here, you know, and a little bit better.
And while they're doing that, Terry's reading all the stuff out of this record album booklet, you know, all this weird stuff, evil stuff. And then they're downstairs, I think, where they're playing cards or something like that, like their little rec room. And then those bimbo sisters or whatever, they show up and they drag her away. And, you know, there's the two kids again.
Yeah, that's when they were going to have the slumber party. And that's when that's when you see Terry and Glenn, too, in the closet.
Yeah, they're, like, looting around, I think, right? Yeah.
And Terry's got a big old shotgun in his man.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, look at this. This is awesome.
Glenn's like, my dad, hey, don't touch it. My dad don't let me play with that.
Yeah, like, Terry's wanting to pop off a couple rounds. Boom. And I think that's when they find that she didn't throw away that big, giant rocket. And it's a huge mother of a rocket. And I think they call it Big Thunder or something like that.
Yeah,
so she had told him she threw it away. You know, she's outgrown those things. And
so
she kept that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's very cool. But I love how they're just, you know, scrounging around in that thing.
Yeah, they're just in their closet. And then
the girls popping with their masks on.
Yeah, what is that stuff you guys wear on your faces?
It's supposed to clear out the, it's a mask. It clears out the pores on your skin and stuff like that. I put one on every night just for my complexion.
I do not.
No? Okay.
No. Anyway. But it's like this color right there. It's like all this
crap. Yeah, it's just a mask. You know,
Al doesn't have it on, but the other two bimbos do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're just getting ready for the night.
Yep.
Little slumber party with the girls. They've got their headphones on, falling asleep, listening to their 80s, you know, culture club, whatever.
Yep.
And
this is where the cool part, too, where you see... They switch to the... You can see the shadow of the demon.
Yeah, starting to creep up.
Starting to creep up, like kind of the hall. It looks like the stairs going down and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, Glenn wakes up, I think, more
and this is where we're going to see him, like, under the bed. Like, they're under the bed, and...
Because
doesn't he say, you know, he's trying to wake Terry up?
Well, the moths are going crazy. And
he goes
to Al, his sister, to let her know, because Terry won't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
He's hollering at him and saying, "Hey, Terry, you know." But
he's like me. He's asleep.
Doesn't wake up. But the moths actually end up crashing through the window, breaks the glass all over the place, and that's when he runs over and says, to Al, you know."
It's some real bad mats too. Like you can really see the mat lines around these moths. Flying around them. But I mean, whatever. You know, it's cool still.
Yeah.
And they open up the door and the glass is all, and you could tell the glass busted in, you know, he didn't break the window, it busted in. And they go to check out Terry again and he's not there.
And guess who's under there,
These, and I love how they call them minions. They're called minions. Not minions like we're used to nowadays.
No.
You know, no banana. But Terry's not in the bed. Terry's, you know, coming behind him, putting his glasses on, and he's, you know, I just went to the John. I just dropped a toozy. What's going on? And then these weird little pink hands come out from under the bed and they grab...
Don't they pull back the sheet?
And it's the dead dog!
And it's the dead dog.
That's right. It's under on Terry's bed.
Because they were going to go wake up Terry after all they broke in. And here it's not Terry,
it's
the dog.
That's the dead dog on Terry's mattress. And then these big, gross little hands start coming out grabbing...
Oh, ginormous hands,
But the thing is, like, they shoot out really far, like Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try to get away...
Yeah, Rubber Man is
It's kind of silly, but...
It's a typical monsters under your bed.
And they're screaming, the other girls don't wake up. And this whole movie, and I'll probably say it again, this whole movie, there's stuff going on. Noise, smoke coming out of this hole. No one calls a cop.
No, I was going to mention that,
No other neighbors are waking up.
Yeah, 20 feet away, the neighbors next door aren't saying nothing.
The sky is turning black.
There's a huge, gigantic beam of, something coming out of the hole up into the sky, which happens later on. But, nobody calls the cops, neighbors,
movie gets a little...
That's kind of crazy.
It's not... key to the story, I guess. You know, we can't have other people getting involved. So they get away from these hands. They break away. They run downstairs.
Through the front door.
Run out the front door. And there's, just like what happened with Terry, there's the parents.
Yep.
And
Glenn
runs up to the dad and, you know, tries to explain what's going on and realizes shortly, you know, because it's a demon, and he starts trying to choke Glenn, and I love he takes his hands and just
sticks
like,
his hands
in his face.
Yeah, digs it in his eyes and then pulls down,
yeah,
and all this,
and the whole
basically
face
turns liquidy.
Yeah, he's got like all these boogers on his hands.
Oh yeah, it looks like boogers.
Yeah,
like goopy,
exactly,
like
gooey.
Goo, yeah.
And
so like, kind of a disgusting scene there.
Yeah,
that
was cool. They all run back in, close the door, and you know, they're all peeking out the window. You know, heavy stuff's going down. They're all,
yeah, well, just the whole scene looking, checking out, you know, seeing what's going on.
I'd be staying away from the windows, man.
Oh, heck, I'd be running down the
now
street.
Now you go grab that shotgun, Terry. Pop off a few rounds.
You do that, or you run the heck out of town. Down the street, something.
Yeah, I don't
these
really
are
know
kids.
Why they stayed in that house.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but...
See, that's where this movie gets some...
Because of the movie.
Gets some bad points for me.
Right.
You know,
well, I hear you.
I'd be getting out of the house. I'd be calling cops. Well, I think they do try to call somebody. And then the phone kind of melts on the wall. Okay, so there's that.
But that's about it.
But then they have the older sister try to go outside and check things out. Why are you going outside? I'm staying indoors. I mean, and then they even say, you know, when she says, okay, I'll go check it out. The other girl's like, you think that's a good idea? That's a good idea. You go check it out. And I don't even know. Does she even find anything outside?
Yeah, the little, which the creatures are the best part of the movie.
Is that when they start showing up?
Yeah, they all come. They're like six, 7 inches tall.
Yeah, and sometimes it's so cool. I was telling Dean that sometimes it almost looked like there was people in costumes. Sometimes it looked like stop motion.
Well, there was.
I couldn't tell.
In parts where it does look like there's somebody in a costume,
mm-hmm.
They're in a full rubber outfit.
Right.
But you can't tell because it's done very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the creature effects are really cool.
Yeah, so they are some scenes in a full rubber outfit. Mm-hmm. Mostly when they're running backwards. You can tell if you look back on the movie now.
Yeah.
But then there's the stop motion. But these creatures are just very, very cool.
I like that.
And like the Ray Harryhausen, like you were saying.
I like the texture. It just looks...
Almost looks like the monster from... what's the name of the old... the one that grew bigger?
Oh, 20 Million Miles to Earth.
Almost looks like that kind of
that
a
one?
Serpent monster.
Sort of, yeah.
He
does. I agree. And that kind of, and that creature almost looked like the Kraken from Clash of Titans, except much smaller.
Right.
So they got kind of like that, but they're more fleshy colored.
Yeah.
A little bit more humanoid sort of face, but just...
And what happens with this creature, too, throughout the thing is they kind of like, you find out, they morph into it's a bigger things, and when they, there'll be a demon guy that falls and breaks down. And as the coolest scene in the movie... There's a demon, like a guy, he looks like a zombie kind of dead guy, falls down on the ground, and he breaks into a bunch of all these little creatures.
Right.
And they all just go splattering around.
And that happened earlier when she's outside and sees those minions for the first time and runs back into the house. She closes the door, they're all chasing her, and one of them gets his arm caught in the door. And it
just like
falls
a 4-inch
off.
Arm, but it
just
falls
like
on the ground and a bunch of worm-like things.
Yeah, it almost looks like
scattered.
Maggots or something. They're really quick, and they scurry under the door.
So you can't break them, kill them, or whatever.
Right.
Almost like the werewolf in Monster Squad.
Yeah, you can't
be connected back, you know, so...
I still don't know how.
I know, whatever, with that.
Where in the mythology of werewolves was that?
I have no idea.
I gotta find out. Because I never saw it before.
Well, the scary scene is when they're looking throughout the house and they got the flashlights and they go down through to the rec room area again.
Mm-hmm.
The scene of the family up on the wall, there's blood on the parents.
They all look like they're dead.
Yeah, man. That's scary.
That was a cool thing. I did notice that. That was neat. You know, just for no reason.
Just
you know, just the family all looks like they're dead.
Yeah, let's just
whereas
put that bloody, gory little
before
picture.
Before they showed
it,
it was like a nice family photo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I
and the two twin girls are with them during this time.
Yeah,
too.
They slept over, so they're in this for the long haul too.
Yeah,
and I guess just getting back to those monsters. You know, this is where I started getting a little bit more interested in the movie.
Yeah,
I just love the
well.
The
this is where
the
action
look.
Picks up, more,
right?
So
and I love that practical effect. I love that the texture.
Yeah.
Everything's so CGI to death today, and I'm not a hater. I'm okay if it's used.
Right.
Good, but I hate when it's all CGI.
No.
I mean, there's an artistry to that. And so many of those effects guys are going out of business because there's just, you know, there's no market for that anymore. It's so much easier to do it in a computer. But it had a look. It looked real. I mean, some people say...
stop motion is great.
Right. Or people said that the old Yoda in Empire Strikes Back looked fake. And it looks like a Muppet. I mean, it just looked real to me. It still does.
I love
it. I see in the other ones looks fake. And, I just love that, you know, it had texture. You felt like it was something that was real that you could touch, and it was. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about these monsters, and it takes love and character, you know. You have to move those facial features, and especially Ray Harryhausen. He was the master. He could get emotion on those stop-motion characters, and it was amazing. And the people, and everyone who does this owed him a debt, so, I mean, they're...
Yeah, I agree with you. Know, you. I mean, it was...
That's what I grew up with. That's what I like. It's what I still like.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think it was better. I mean, it was art. It was an art form that's unfortunately started.
I think a lot of these other countries still actually do that kind of stop motion, and they're the ones still making the good stop motion movies, you know.
Point one out to me.
But anyways, the...
So yeah, they, after they're in the basement?
Well, they find in the basement the album because it's going to conjure the, you know, he can close the hole.
Right,
because
they listen to the album backwards. Right. They know what to do. The stuff is in the album.
Yeah.
And I think they open it up and...
It burns.
Boom, burns up.
Yeah, so it goes up in flames. So there goes the whole album, you know. And
so
it,
they decide, what do we got to do? And someone mentions the Bible. You know, just read the Bible.
Right.
So they go out to the... and what they have learned is that... To open up the gate, you need blood. So that was the blood from Glenn when he got poked.
Yeah.
They need a sacrifice, which was the dog. And he even mentions, you know, it doesn't have to be a person. You know, the dog was...
Right.
And they said those words. So that opened up the gate. And by playing that album back, that particular album had on there how to do it. So, you know, Deus Ex Machina there. Mm. On how to do it. So, but the record album burned up. So they have a Bible.
So then
he starts reading passages.
Trying to close the hole up.
And it almost seems like it's working. All the smoke is going back into the... Which is kind of a cool effect. Like, looks like dry ice just pouring into a hole.
It's almost like an exorcist type. I mean, they are making whatever demonic thing or hole this is, they're making it angry.
Right.
So...
And it ends up pulling Terry in.
What's he do first, though? I mean, he does read...
He's reading passages from the Bible.
But doesn't he get mad after...
That's not yet. I love that part. I know what you're getting at.
So Terry falls in the hole.
Yeah, he gets... And he goes way down. And
all the way down,
little,
I think.
I don't know if he goes all the way down or not.
Because all those little characters are crazy.
All those minions are down.
They come out.
Right, and this is the part where I think some of them looked like they were in costumes.
That is the part where they were in full rubber costumes.
They start taking chunks out of him, and he's whacking.
Yeah, it bites his shoulder. His leg.
He's taking him, just throwing him, and
you know that's kind of taking a chunk out of him, man.
And they start
infection's got to set in.
He
needs antibiotics. Okay, go ahead.
Might even need a steroid shot. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Good old penicillin still works.
And so in the meantime, there, Al and...
trying to figure out a way.
Yeah, they've got like a board hanging over there trying to get like a little hunk of the rope or something
like
that.
Yeah, they found rope to go put down there.
Always got rope. You know, all these people always have rope.
Hey, gotta get out there. I do like how Terry is down there and those minions, he's trying to get back up.
He's squashing them.
He's stomping on it like
crazy. Yeah, and then the ones like laying on the ground like writhing in pain. I felt bad for it.
You felt bad for the minion.
I mean, they are kind of cool. I mean,
oh, they are cool.
I wish they would make like a bucket of them that you could just put all over your house.
Oh, heck yeah. I doubt they made a toy of this.
A bucket of them. Like, that's what I think they should do with the minions from the Despicable Me movies. Make a bucket of them, of little ones, about this big, all different, and you can just put them all over your house.
Yeah,
I'd pay $30 for that.
Heck yeah, man.
So yeah, they end up pulling Terry. It takes a little bit of a process. They pull him up.
Yeah, eventually.
And then they got to get back to the Bible again. And they don't know what to read. They're like, what do I read? And he's going, and he's flipping through. And I love, you know, he doesn't know what to read.
Mm-hmm.
So he just starts reading the first verse of Genesis.
Yeah.
And finally, he just gets
pissed off and... Throws it in the hole.
He takes the whole Bible. Here, take the whole thing.
Yeah, because he gets mad. He's just like, oh, here we go. It's a funny scene.
Does. It closes up, and they think they've done it. They're all dancing around. And that was so great. Like, just take the whole book.
That was a good part of it.
I'm not going to read this.
Yeah. So what am I supposed to read? The whole Bible? I'm back with this. The kids act like adults in this.
Yeah.
If you think about it, they do.
Yeah, I mean, Terry's the one that knows what to do. He's the go-to guy.
Well, even the humor, like him reading the verse out of the Bible and then throwing it in the hole, that's totally an adult thing with somebody.
Right there. I'd be like, here.
But then, yeah.
Give me all the holy books from in there. Cover your bases.
Oh, my God. Throw the Quran in there, throw the Holy Bible in there.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. But they, yeah, they end up going back in the house.
And they think all is well.
Yeah. Don't they find the twins in the, they open up a closet door and they're in there they're just hiding, you know?
Yeah, just, you know. But
they got big rings of garlic around their
neck. Yeah, that's right. They're I remember that. Totally useless.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's going to ward off the
demons. Where did they find rings of garlic? Who's got rings of garlic in their house? And enough to make two necklaces. They got candles lit and they're making their
clothes. Yeah,
this is not vampires.
No.
These girls are absolutely useless in a crisis. These three kids, okay.
They kind of got their stuff
they
together.
They can handle themselves, but
this is another
we forgot to mention that very scary
scene. But
there's when remember when we said that Glenn was in bed and his dad kind of came to tuck him in and he said something about that hole, and he mentions that Terry told him a story that when a long time ago when they were building this neighborhood and built the house, a man died and they were afraid to tell the cops about it, so they buried him inside the wall of Glenn's house.
Yeah.
And that's when Glenn's father starts telling him, you know, his mother's been gone, he's angry, you know, sometimes he's just confused and acts immature.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, I totally forgot about that, because now we mentioned
it's all right, a
guy popping out of the wall, and you gotta remember why. So they think all is well. They go, I think it's down in the rec room.
Yeah.
And they just see this body hanging out of a wall.
Yeah.
A workman.
Pushes right out of the plastered wall. Just falls out and it's laying on its side, kind of.
Now, doesn't this kind of like, this ends up being another one like those little dream sequences, though. It's not a real body, because then he kind of snaps out of it, like the guy comes out of the wall and starts grabbing Glenn. And then he kind of snaps out of it.
Right.
And you know, runs back upstairs. It's still, you can tell it's the dream sequence because it's got all that haze around it.
Yeah,
kind of like the
wind
first
blowing inside the house.
Right. And, you know, when's wind blowing inside your house?
Yeah.
So, and that's a thing. So,
that's when the phone, I think, melted and all
the
that
phone
stuff
melted
too,
a little bit before when.
Okay.
When she came back in from when those minions were chasing her.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it grabs Terry. What happens. It grabs Terry. And drags him into the workman grabs Terry, drags him into the wall, and then it just kind of seals up. That's right.
And Glenn couldn't do nothing to save him.
Right.
I mean, he's just, you know, helpless.
Right. And I think he thought it was a dream, and then they realized it was not a dream. And I love when he goes into a closet or something, Terry's in there, looks like a little rat.
Yeah.
And he starts taking a big chunk out of his hand.
Yeah, he's like possessed, because you can see it in his eyes and his face, and he looks kind of like dead, kind of.
And I think the sister just like beats the hell out of him with a Barbie doll.
Oh, no, he sticks the Barbie doll's foot, jabs the leg like a knife right into his eye.
Aww,
it's a very, it's a sickening scene there, too. But yeah, he just right in Terry's eye, poor kid. I mean, he got grabbed by the demon, and you know, now he's got a Barbie's leg through his eye.
Should have been a little nicer. He couldn't help it.
Then it just closes up, too.
Right, right. You know, it's like in the wall of the closet or something.
Yeah, everything
like that.
Just closes up.
Or was that
up.
Zipper bag where the gun was? It was that zipper bag.
Okay, right.
That's where he pops out of, where the shotgun was. And then they realize, you know, they didn't do anything after all.
Right.
The minions are all over the house.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
It's kind of fast paced from this point forward with everything.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, movie's winding down now, folks. Yeah. We won't, you know, prolong the pain too much more. And they stupidly try to lock themselves in the closet,
right,
which is kind of like, you know, the Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween thing, you know.
Yeah, I kind of like that, yeah.
You know, hiding in the closet. I mean, you got nowhere to go. I'd jump out of a second story window if I had to.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just hang drop.
And just out of nowhere, he sees a nice card from his sister that says she loves him. And
right,
like
right.
So, even though all this is craziness is going on and stuff, they still want to make a point that him and his sister are, you know,
right,
connecting again.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, minions all over the house. Whatever. There's bloody markings on the wall. And, you know, when they come out of the closet, the floor just starts caving in.
Yeah, and
the steps, he's trying to
hole that was outside, there's a gigantic hole in the middle of the house.
Right, under the house. And he's trying to creep up the stairs. The stairs start falling apart. And I mean, this is
the walls like moving.
Yeah, like the house is not built well at all. The walls are really shaking. The steps are falling apart.
Everything's
you got to get a contractor in there.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah,
yeah, probably.
Homes on home.
Yeah. He's got a lot of work to do in this house. And
this old house.
I know. But I just, you know, there's like a bloody hand with an eye in it, and that's what happens when he gets bit.
Doesn't
that happen after he gets bit? He gets the eye in his hand?
Well, that big hole that opens up in the living room area in the middle of the house, all those little minions start popping up and coming up. And then a gigantic one demon comes up. So this thing's at least like 20 feet tall or something like that. And it's got like four arms. No, six arms, I think.
Two little it's almost like serpentine.
Yeah, yeah. And he picks up Glenn by the hand. And he just pats his head, drops him down. And as he drops him down, classic scene of the movie, the gate. He's got an eye in the
head. I should have drew an eye on my
very Masonic, yes. But he's... he's got a... Ted's a Mason, so... You know, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Well, they'll come after you.
Oh, but anyways, yeah. He's
got, I don't know any secrets. They just chose not to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm not very high ranking. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand the whole point of the eye in the hand. Why did he have that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that makes no sense. And then he goes to light up that big rocket. Why was he going to do that? Why is he going to light up that big rocket?
Well, the big demon showed up in the middle of the house.
So he's going to use the rocket to shoot at him?
He was going to shoot the rocket into thinking he's going to blow up the demon. So
wow. I mean, just a little toy rocket you buy at a hobby shop. But I do like when that big demon, and it's a really cool stop-motion animation effect. It would make an awesome toy.
Yes.
And the minions, the minions are kind of dancing around as he's rising up.
Yes.
So he lights up that rocket. Doesn't it, like, shoot right through?
Well, not
right,
right away, but...
Not
I
right
mean,
away. He picks him up, gives him the eye in the hand.
It won't start up. I mean, so he...
all the wind's blowing.
He runs back and gets that sure starter that he's going to give his sister. And he uses that. So
where is his sister? I can't even remember where his sister's at. Where'd she get to in all this?
I know, I can't remember.
I don't know.
But anyways,
he can just disappear, reappear, kind of like
that old guy, that monster demon guy, grabs her too.
They were both gone. Terry and his sister,
and he couldn't do that. He was holding on to her they were dragging her through the wall. But yeah, I'm usually Ted knows every tiny little detail, and I'm taking it. Ted's a little disappointed in this movie.
It's okay,
but
I love the monsters. The movie itself wasn't the greatest I ever seen, but I love the monsters. And
no, I get you.
And I will watch a movie with monsters like that anytime because that's the redeeming factor of the movie.
And there's nothing wrong with going back over a movie and finding out that it's not all that it was meant to be.
And I had never seen the end, so it gave me a reason to watch it all the way to the end. So,
right.
Glenn's got that little eye on his hand. Not really sure why that's there.
I'm not sure either.
I know he takes...
I think just because maybe the demon put part of himself in there and he was going to be the next sacrifice, maybe. Who knows? I'm reaching. But, But Glenn, he
takes a hunk of glass from the broken window and just, real ballsy, stabs the eye.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Poltergeist. Everything's blowing around in the house. There's a big funnel cloud coming out of the house. And again, no one's calling cops. No one's looking out the window going, Marfa, look at that.
Yeah, nobody's saying a
straight
thing.
Up into the heavens.
And that's the crazy thing, yeah.
Right.
So I was actually watching this with my kids, too.
Did they get scared? Did they like it?
The couple of the gory scenes, like the Barbie... leg through the eye thing, my youngest son, I said, turn your face.
Turn your head.
Don't look at it. You know?
That makes him want to look more.
But there wasn't too many bad. There was just the three. They didn't mind the scariness of the monster and stuff, or the dead guy. I mean, he's scary looking.
Right.
But my daughter's like, cool, that's cool. my daughter loves everything monster. I mean, so it's awesome. She's getting... Doing these podcasts and going over these old monster movies, she's loving it.
Oh, she's watching them?
She's watching everyone with me, and like, this is awesome. She loves it all, which is great.
Cool.
So, but yeah, I mean, the movie does start winding down. I don't know why neighbors aren't saying nothing and the cops aren't coming, but...
But that's his plan to shoot the rocket through the large demon, the king demon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the rocket ends up falling down, and he's got the stairs have fallen away, so he's got to make his way carefully
down.
He got that, what is it called, Sure Shot, whatever it is.
It starts the rocket.
A launcher for the rocket. So
you got me not even caring anymore. Whatever. He's got the rocket.
So he's got that, he's going to hook that up, and he launches that sucker, goes right through the demon, And I think that kind of puts the kibosh on everything. Everything kind of
goes
back in, all the lights in the house, everything kind of retracts, and
it
almost looks like fireworks going off.
Oh, no,
like,
it is fireworks going off above the house. This part is another part I do not...
I don't know how it's looking like firecrackers.
How a rocket going into the middle of this big, giant, demonic form...
I thought it was like the demonic forms, like, destroying, like... That's what the fireworks were.
Yeah, but I mean, why fireworks?
I don't know. And then the effect is the sky is all black, and it kind of, you know, it starts at the center and just opens up, and you see the clear blue sky start to reappear.
The dawn is coming. And they made it through the night. Well, at least Glenn did. And you know, we find out that,
the sister and Terry, they obviously make it. He goes back in the house.
Yeah, I mean, the house is still, it's destroyed, so whenever, it's not like everything went back to normal.
Right, they're not going to have time to clean this up.
Oh, no, the parents are just going to be like, what, and like, they're going to even believe them.
I know, and the first person we see come back to life is Angus. He just comes walking out of the closet.
The dog.
The dog is back alive, and
sister comes out of the closet.
They come out of the closet.
That must have been the portal, like, you know, Poltergeist. You know, it's a closet, you know.
I don't know. And they all hug it out, and that's pretty much, the end of the flick.
I mean, there will be
a couple years later, a sequel. I think they made it in 89.
Yeah.
And that one's mostly going to feature Lewis Tripp, who is Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be his character. And he, if you're interested in it, from what I understand, he... Glenn and his family have moved away,
right?
But his house is still there, and he kind of he's just drawn to that whole idea of the gate and the power and everything, and he decides to break into that house and kind of open the portal again. The minions show up again, and I think they start getting he actually gains some powers, like he can like wish fulfillment powers.
Do you remember when the second movie was made?
I think it was 89. I'm pretty sure.
Was it? Okay, so
it's an 80s movie.
So a couple years right after this.
Yeah, so he'd been a few years older.
I'm surprised I didn't actually watch the second one. I don't know.
I might not be in a hurry to, but
no. I guess
I would be curious. Usually when I watch one movie, if I know there's another one, I gotta watch the other just to see how it all.
And you know what? I bet most people who do love this movie, you know...
Are there any?
Probably...
I didn't hate it.
I mean, I'll say again. I mean, it wasn't the worst movie, and it wasn't the best movie.
No.
It was one of those movies that I remember it being really good. It is a very cult-oriented movie now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we would look and go, you know...
There's just a few things that stretch the imagination.
No, and you know,
make it a little unrealistic.
With cult movies, I mean, you know, it gains it, and I think it was mostly from the monsters.
You know what gets me? It's like I can accept the portal, I can accept the monsters. All that. It's the neighbor's not calling the cops. That's what I, you know, that's
biggest
what ruins it for
the,
me. You know?
Biggest flaw of the movie.
You know, it's the team. Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, that's okay. No,
the kid's got shooting a big spotlight out of the hole in the ground.
Right. It's like, no, let's just presume for a moment that can actually happen, and then but no one calls the police. You know that's
no.
It ruins the whole movie.
I get it for
and,
you.
And
totally.
Little things like the eye in the hand is cool effect. I just wish I kind of understood why it happened.
If you're looking for like explanations on certain parts of
things,
the stories,
certain parts,
you're not going to get them. So you got to take it for what it's worth.
The record album is just a little bit convenient that had all the answers.
The whole movie.
But that's how these movies are. You know, that's the cool thing about horror movies.
It's cheesy, campy. Right. Although this wasn't. Too cheesy. I mean, this was it was more dramatic horror.
Yeah, there wasn't too much cheese. I mean, it's a product of the times.
There were flaws, and there were, you know, if you like it, you like it.
I'd watch it again for the monsters. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I would watch it again for the monsters.
I would think any horror monster movie fan would watch it, too.
And
At least once, you know.
And out of a lot of 80s movies and, you know, the creature effects and stuff, I put that up there. There's some really cool effects.
Oh, yeah, creature-wise. Yeah, definitely.
There was some really cool stuff in there that I hadn't seen. You know, a lot of times they're done on the cheap.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like they put a little effort into some of these characters and even used body suits and just to make it all look cool so they could do more things. So I liked it and appreciated it for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, just a few story elements that didn't quite work for me. But I
I'd
give it like a B minus C plus kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
it's not
Wicker Man, but you know, it doesn't try to proclaim itself as art. And,
right. That's well, right. what kind of black or white you think
about? I don't know. It doesn't even have to be a black and white. I feel like I want to get to something a little bit more gothic and old school and something that don't have so many damn kids in it.
I hear you. Yeah, we'll definitely get
into getting tapped out on kids movies.
No, we'll get something a little bit darker. Right.
We did put lists together of movies that we want to do. Some of them aren't even horror movies. Like, I thought it'd be cool to do Willy Wonka or something like that, because there's some weird dark stuff in that movie too.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're both Woody Allen fans, and I love Manhattan Murder Mystery just to talk about that, even though it's not really a horror movie, a thriller kind of thing, and that would be a fun movie to do.
Yeah.
Might have to do that one soon, because I'm kind of itching to watch that.
Manhattan Murder Mystery?
We should do that one soon.
Why not throw it out there? I mean, we're always going to do horror movies, but
that's the closest that Woody Allen got to horror.
Yeah. But I think next week we'll definitely do a darker horror movie.
Okay,
I'm not sure what yet, but we will do that. And then maybe the following week we'll do I could watch Manhattan Murder Mystery once a month, once a week.
This is the one that got me into Woody Allen, and I love him.
And that's just a classic.
Forget that he's weird and all that stuff.
I know, yeah.
Brilliant.
People hear Woody Allen and go, nah. But I'll tell you what, man. He's made some movie like Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, there's lines in there that are just so great. And they're sitting
there. You
can't bluff a bluffa. And he doesn't believe that she's seen this killing going on, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in a car to stake out. He's the boring one. And they finally do see the dead woman.
I'm not giving nothing away.
I'm just throwing this out there real quick because it's a great movie.
Right.
He sees her and after all this denying and saying that it's didn't happen, he goes,
"I told you."
He goes, "Oh my God, see there she is! Oh my God, I told you so." He goes, "I'm scared." I mean, it's Woody Allen's classic.
Maybe
we'll do that
because it is. We'll be laughing the whole time. That's a good one you got to watch before
your jaw.
Before we talk about it.
Yeah. So watch
me laughing, and we get the jokes, and it just helps if you've seen it.
Yeah,
we might just have to let that play on the computer screen or something while we do it, just so we can enjoy the dialogue.
Oh yeah, I think I'll put it up on the site and make sure I let everybody know. Watch it before we do it, so that because this is just a laugh for all the way through.
And part of the thing that makes it funny is just him, his inflection, his accent from New York, and his
the way he acts because
the little meek Jewish guy, and just that character, that neurotic character that George Costanza, ripped a little bit on Seinfeld
and
eventually turned it into something else.
And he doesn't believe anything she's saying through this whole movie until that happens. but we'll talk about that.
So
we'll talk about
maybe
that.
Maybe get to something a little bit more gothic. Like, I love Vincent Price news. We haven't even touched on Vincent Price yet.
Well, what do you think? What kind of movie for Vincent Price?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think you were saying, The Black Cat or something like that?
Black Cat is Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. Fantastic film. We could do that. I love the... Vincent Price has a lot of movies. I don't love all Vincent Price movies, but I grew up with and love the ones he did with Roger Corman, the Edgar Allan Poe movies. I could watch those over and over. They're all so fantastic.
What's the one where his wife's in bed and he keeps getting some kind of potion or he'll age? You remember what that
was? Or he will age?
He will age.
That
some
I
of
believe,
the rose are in the garden or...
That is...
I'm trying to think.
The one that you're thinking of, the one that has to do with the flower... is from Twice Told Tales, which aren't based on the Edgar Allan Poe books.
Right.
It was an anthology movie, and that was based on Nathaniel Hawthorne. I can't remember the name of the... But that's in that movie.
Okay.
There's another one called Mr. Valdemar. I think that's in Twice Told Tales.
Okay.
That's another anthology movie where he gets older. Older. Or they stop him at the point of death or something like that.
Okay.
But there's a couple like that.
Okay.
You're thinking of Twice Told Tales. There's a couple stories in there like that.
Okay.
But I'd love to touch on a Vincent Price, Roger Corman movie, or Black Cat would be an awesome one to do, too.
Okay, we'll let you guys know. We'll figure it out and post it, let you guys know. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, another good podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best movie, but we went over it thoroughly. C plus.
For the monster effects, especially, go for it.
Yeah.
Know? Like I said, story-wise, but there's enough holes in other horror movies, too, so it's not like it's not like the ones that I watch are so up there and there's no plot holes. It's just, when you see a big funnel cloud coming out of a house, I think someone's going to call someone. That's all.
I get you. And with that, we're going to end it.
right.
And until next week, yeah, just check out our website, man.
Please.
Yeah, and it's on www.littlemonstermoviespodcast.com. All right. Yep, until next time. Peace out.
See ya.